Well, before we get started on our study this morning, I just want to call Jackie and Mark up. I think Mark's changing nappy. Give him a few moments. Is he coming? That's good. Good. Where's Isla? Did you leave her there? Just turn it back on. There we go. Mark and Jackie at our last church meeting were officially accepted into membership here at the Durban North Baptist Church. And today we just want to welcome them as a family into membership here. And Mark and Jackie are very much involved in church life here at Durban North already. Jackie's been involved in the ladies' ministry extensively, and Mark's been involved at in the worship ministry at the back there with the data projector and all that. So they've also been part of the young adults Bible study. So they've already been a part of us already. And so this is not welcoming you as being part of us, but welcome you officially as you officially and formally, rather, commit yourself to Durban North Baptist Church. We really pray that as you exercise your membership here, you already find this to be a family that cares for you and loves you, and you grow closer to the Lord in and through that. And we really trust that that would happen in your lives, especially as your little family starts to take shape. And so it's good to have you formally as members of Durban North Baptist Church. Little certificates for you just in recognition of this day, but on them there's special verses for you and Jack's. This verse from Philippians 1, verse 9 to 10. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless till the day of Christ. And so, there we go. Welcome. And Mark, for you, we've got 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16 to 18. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. There we go. God bless you. Let's just pray together as we commit Mark and Jackie to the Lord. Father, thank you so much for just the way in which you bless your church with people. Thank you so much for these two special children of yours that you have brought to us here at Durban North Baptist Church, and worked in their hearts that they would formally want to identify themselves with this family here. Thank you for their love for you and for their faithfulness over the years. Thank you for the little family in which you've given to them, and for Isla. And Lord, we just pray for them and ask that your protection would be upon them, that your favor would be experienced in their lives daily, and that they would grow closer to you as you just reveal more and more of yourself and more of your love for them as a family. Lord, we pray that not only will they keep us accountable to your word and to the truth we found in it, but Lord, we would be able to come alongside them and also encourage them and support them as they grow in their knowledge and their love for you. And so we pray all these things in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thanks, Lord. To invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Just let me say that I'm glad I'm not preaching next week and I don't have to dress up in a white suit. I'd rather have John do that. It's good to be anchored behind this pulpit. So, Acts chapter 1 and just the first 11 verses. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God.
On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Just so far this morning. We're told in the beginning of Acts what the author Luke had written to this man Theophilus about in his first edition, in his first book. It was all about what Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up into heaven. And so we can say that Theophilus has a good understanding of what Jesus came to do, how he did it, and the fact that he accomplished what he came to do. It was all about Jesus setting up his kingdom, setting up his rule in the lives of people. That was what Luke's first book was all about. His sequel, though, or the next episode, is the story of Jesus carried on. It's a story that has not ended. We know the sequel to be the story that carries on because Luke overlaps this book by recording again for us that Jesus was raised from the dead, and he again tells us that he showed himself over a period of 40 days to his followers and gave them convincing proof that he was alive. In and amongst this overlapping part of his account here in Acts, we find key phrases, though, which suggest to us what the rest of the story of Acts is going to be all about. Key phrases such as in verse 2, giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. And in verse 3, another key phrase, he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Giving instructions or speaking about the kingdom of God suggests that Jesus is not concluding his story, but he's carrying on with his story. His story is not over. His ministry is not finished. It's about to carry on and on. He is now partnering with his followers so that the story that he has begun will reach the ends of the earth. And more people will be brought into this kingdom of God that he has begun to set up in the hearts and the lives of people. The way Jesus wants us to partner with him in the continuation of this story, however, is for people, his people, his followers, to be a witness in this world for him. To be a witness in this world for him. We read this from verse 8. "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world." And so we can conclude that if we partners with Jesus in setting up his kingdom, setting up his kingdom rule in the lives of people, then we ought to be witnesses. We ought to be witnesses for him. Whether we are a stay-at-home mom, whether we are a student or a business person, whether we are a preacher or a missionary on the mission field, we're all called to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Witnesses, simply put, point others to Jesus, to the truth about Jesus. And so if we are Jesus' witnesses, we point others to the truth that Jesus has died and has been raised again, that Jesus does make a difference in our day-to-day lives, that Jesus does give us a hope for eternal life with him. That's what this book of Acts is all about as we come to this first part of it this morning. It's Christ followers partnering with Christ in setting up his kingdom here on earth. But any businessmen or businesswomen and whoever else is involved in partnerships will tell you that for a partnership to be effective, each partner needs to value each other. Each partner needs to value what the other person, other partner brings. As followers of Jesus Christ, we often hear sermons, we often hear motivational talks about how we ought to live in response to what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. In other words, how we ought to value the grace of God shown to us in Jesus Christ. And let that be a motivation to us witnessing in the world today. We've just come around the Lord's table where we've kind of been reminded of the grace of God lavished upon us so that we would go out in the world and be witnesses for him. We hear that message often spoken to us, and so true. We are. We are to be encouraged. We are to be motivated. We are to be spurred on in our witnessing when we consider the great grace, the amazing love of God shown to us in Jesus Christ. But seldom do we hear, or seldom are we taught, just how much Jesus, God, values us for our witness for him in the world. I believe Acts 1 through 11 tells us just how much Jesus values our witness for him as we partner with him in setting up his kingdom in the lives of people. Let me say first of all that Jesus could have chosen many other means in order to set up his kingdom in the lives of people. After all, he is our sovereign Lord, our sovereign God, the one who created all things and reigns supremely over all things. But he chose you and he chose me as partners with him in setting up his glorious kingdom in the lives of people. He chose you and he chose me to be a part of that. That in itself, friends, should show us just how much God values our witness for him. But we also see that God values our witness for him and that he is prepared to delay his judgment before he makes all things new again. We read in verse 4 that one of Jesus' final instructions to his followers was that they remain in Jerusalem until they receive the promised gift from the Father. The followers of Jesus thought this meant the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. God was going to finally judge the enemies who had conquered and persecuted and made life difficult for the Israelites. Those who were ruling over them now, he was going to judge them and return the kingdom of Israel to them so that they can enjoy life the way they want it to be. Jesus' work here on earth was never intended for that. But rather, his work, as we've said, was intended to bring his kingdom rule in the hearts and in the lives of people, including Israel, to the very ends of the earth. That's why he says in verse 8, again, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem from here right to the ends of the earth. God will judge the world one day, friends. For the purpose of making all things new, we read in Revelation, God is going to bring about a newness of this world in our lives, the way he created us for. And so Jesus' response is profound when he says to his followers who are expecting this restoration of Israel the way they wanted it, it's not for you to know the times and the dates the Father has set by his own authority. God has got an end to history. God has got it in hand by his own divine wisdom and authority. But until then, he delays that making all things new again because he has a witness in the world, you and I. He is a witness of his great mercy and his grace to us in Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but when I read the newspapers and I watch the news on TV, I'm amazed at what's going on in the world. I'm amazed because I think, just how worse can it get? It hurts me, it frustrates me, it angers me to see the way in which men and women are living today. The immorality seems to get worse and worse the longer this world seems to go on. It amazes me how God can patiently put up with constant rebelling against him and his ways, because he's got a witness in the world. But then I think of passages like this, and I'm equally amazed to think that the reason why God delays his judgment, the reason why God doesn't just make all things new right now, immediately, the reason why God is holding his judgment back, it's because he's got you and I in the world, setting up his kingdom in the lives of people, restoring men and women by his power into a right relationship with him. He's got us partnering with him in bringing this all about. And every day, friends, every day that God withholds his judgment is a day he shows us just how much he values our witness in the world. Every day God withholds his judgment is a day he shows us just how much he values our witness in the world. Well, Luke goes on to tell us more about how God values our witness in the world by telling us that he has given us his own power to be witnesses for Jesus. He has given us the power of his Holy Spirit, the promised gift from our Father that Jesus told his disciples to wait for in verse 4 was the gift of the Holy Spirit. They were to be baptized. They were to be immersed. They were to be clothed in the power of God's Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Unlike these followers of Jesus, we are baptized. We are immersed. We are given that power of God when we submit and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives through faith. And so every follower of Jesus Christ, every partner with Jesus in the gospel of God, every witness for him is empowered by God's power through his Holy Spirit. Without the power of the Holy Spirit within us, the task of witnessing for Jesus is made impossible. It's made impossible. Why? Well, if we think about it, these followers of Jesus Christ were ready to go out and be witnesses for Christ. I mean, if anybody was qualified, if anybody was up to that point to be a witness for Jesus in the world, it was his followers. I mean, they were taught by the greatest Bible college professor of all time. They had the honorary seminary degrees. They had seen and interacted with the Son of God for some time now. Surely they had everything that they needed to be witnesses for him. But no, we read that Jesus tells them to wait for the power of the Spirit. Why? Well, because as we live in this broken world as witnesses for Jesus, we enlist in a great battle. We are in a struggle, we are in a battle, not against the physical nature. But as Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, we battle against the rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We are at war, we are at a serious war against some serious power out there. I don't need you to tell you the immensity of that power out there in the world today, which causes the immorality that we live in, the brokenness of our world. It's strong. No seminary degree, no personal strength or conditioning can see us victorious in this battle, but the power of God in us through His Holy Spirit. And so God values our witness for Him so much that He does not want us to be overwhelmed by the battle. He does not want us to lose the battle, but He wants us to be victorious in the battle. And so He equips us, He enables us with the power of His Holy Spirit, gives us everything we need, whether it's just living our lives daily in a way responding to His grace, or whether it's intentionally going out and sharing about what Jesus Christ has done for us. We have that power which equips us and enables us to do that, to give of a good testimony of the truth of Jesus Christ. And so whether you're tidying up after your children, whether you're studying at university, whether you're sharing in a business meeting or sealing a business deal, whether you're teaching or leading, whether you're on a plane overseas, wherever God has placed you in your day-to-day life, He has equipped you to be a powerful witness for Him. That's just how much He values your witness in the world out there. Lastly, God values your witness for Him, for He promises us of Jesus' return. After the disciples were given this instruction about partnering with Jesus and setting up His kingdom by being witnesses for Him, verse 9 says, He was taken up into heaven out of their sight. And we go on to read that the followers of Jesus Christ stood motionless, staring up into the sky where Jesus had disappeared. Then they were confronted by these two men dressed in white, probably angels, who stood beside them and said to them, "This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back. Will come back in the same way as you have seen Him go to heaven today." We know from other scripture that the second coming of Jesus Christ is for the purpose of coming for His witnesses. He's coming for His followers. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16, Paul writes, "For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise." Those witnesses, followers of Christ who have been faithful to Him, will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and our left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Amen. Jesus promised second coming is the end of the partnership of setting up His kingdom here on this earth. Being a witness for Him will not last forever. It will end one day. It'll end because there won't be a need to witness for Him anymore. Because He will show the world that what His people were witnessing to is very true in and of Himself. He will show the world that He is very much alive, that He very much is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that He is the one who has given life and He is the one who will give eternal life to us. But for all those who have partnered with Jesus, all those who have partnered with Him in setting up His kingdom in their lives, or in the lives of people through their witness, Christ will show their value to Him by taking them to be with Him forever. You know, we're coming to the end of the year where we usually find all these end of year parties and end-of-year functions, usually for the purpose of management or some kind of leading body to show appreciation or value to their staff or to their partners or their investors. Dare I say, the appreciation at those functions lasts up until the function is over, doesn't it? And then just a few days later, we're wondering, are we really valued? Are we really treasured by those who are over us? But friends, God promises all His partners, all those that come and are witnesses with Him of His great grace, an appreciation experience, a valued function that will last for eternity. God promises us that we will enjoy indescribable appreciation. We will know immense value from Him because we will be with Him forever and ever. Does that not just tell you how much God treasures your witness and my witness in the world today for His glory? An eternal show of appreciation, an eternal show of just how much you have meant to Him. Friends, in closing, let me say that your witness for Jesus at home, in the classroom, wherever you might find yourself, is valued by God. Valued so much that He is willing to be patient with His broken world before He judges this world and makes all things new again. Valued so much that He has given us the power of His own Spirit to be with us, to equip us, to enable us to be effective for Him. And He values us so much that He has promised an eternity of appreciation for our witness. Does God need our witness in the world today? No. Probably not. Does God choose to partner with us, allowing us to be a witness for Him? Yes, He does. Does God value your witness in the world today? Absolutely, more than we can ever imagine. Witnessing for Jesus is a partnership with Him that can never fail if we continue to value His grace in our lives, because we discover from the truth today that He values our witness for Him. And so next time you wonder, next time you find yourself in a position where you wonder, what value is my witness for Him? What value is there to witnessing to my spouse, to my family, to my friends, to my business colleagues? Is it really appreciated? Is it really making a difference? I hope you'll remember at those times that your partnership with Jesus and witnessing for Him is valued immensely. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank You so much again for what You have done for us in Your Son, Jesus Christ, for rescuing us through Him from Your just penalty for our rebellion against You. Thank You for rescuing us and giving us life in Him, a life that finds great meaning, great fulfillment, great joy. Thank You also, Father God, for choosing us to be partners with You in setting up Your kingdom in the lives of people around us. Thank You for giving us the simple task of being Your witness, pointing others to the truth about who You are and what You promise for us. Father, won't You encourage us? Won't You motivate us? Especially in those moments where we feel like our witness is accomplishing very little, that You, our Lord and our Father, value our testimony in the world out there. And so encourage us this morning, we pray, that we might leave this place with the boldness, with the courage, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to live and to testify for You. We thank You for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing our